Good morning, everyone. I greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It's wonderful to be together and thinking about missions. I want to say that I could say amen to the message. It's really been a challenge of how much compassion that we really have for the lost. My subject assigned to me is the cry of the city. I was just kind of wondering, how many here live in the city? Raise your hand real high. I see a few, about 10. Okay, maybe you will not know what I'm talking about the cry in the city. My wife and I, we moved to the city a little over 40 years ago, and the Lord has blessed us tremendously in the fact that we took heed to His call. God has blessed us with 8 children. They are all serving the Lord. And it's just a wonderful blessing to live in the city and to be able to share the good news of Jesus. This know also that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hating, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before You in prayer this morning. Lord, we want to thank You again that we have our sins forgiven and the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven us and we are cleansed. And Lord, there's many more out there that need to be saved. So, Lord, we pray that You be with us again as we look into Your Word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the cry of the city, living there for over 40 years, as it says, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, one of them was violence. The cry of the city, there is a tremendous amount of violence in the city. Last night, the sixth officer was killed in the city of Philadelphia in the last year and a half. 6 officers. 2 officers were killed in Reading in the last couple years. And they decided that they're going to have a peace march. They called me and wondered if they could stop at our school grounds and I would be there to offer a prayer, you know, offer one. So I said, I'll be there. They said, we have about 4 other stops. We're going to be marching and we're going to come to your school a certain time. And then we want you to say a few words and offer prayer. I said, well, that sounds good. An opportunity for me to say just a little bit for Jesus. Well, I was waiting and waiting, and the time was past. And soon I started hearing a noise. Here they come, up Muhlenberg Street, carrying flags and chanting and saying, we want peace! We want peace! We want peace! We want peace! Folks, the world today is crying out for peace. They don't need to know us by our quilts, by our food, by our peculiar dress. They need to know, folks, that they are totally missing the mark if they don't know that it's Jesus. Jesus is the one, folks, that the world needs to hear. Well, they are so clueless. You know, when I have a toothache, I know that I don't go to the plumber. Okay? I know when I have a toothache. Actually, I drive the whole way from Reading to Dr. Grant here in Ephrata. And they still take care of my teeth, okay? I want to tell you, folks, actually the world does not know where to turn. They are clueless. They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to immorality. They are trying all kinds of things. And it's not working. They don't know what to do. And brothers and sisters, this morning, we have the answer. It's Jesus. You know, they wanted to get rid of Jesus a long time ago, from the very beginning. But when they were there, and Jesus was on trial, there was Barabbas, and there stood Jesus. Who did they want to get rid of? Jesus. They said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. Folks, the world today is still saying, away with him, away with him. I just picked up the paper yesterday, Berks and Beyond, and they're focusing on stopping violence. So they had a meeting. You know, they have lots of meetings today. They're trying to figure out why people are killing people, why people are stealing. You know, when you live in the city of Reading, they're going to steal from you. So a good Anabaptist, non-resistant person gets tried. It's easy to say how to do it when nobody steals from you, but if they keep stealing from you, you kind of get tired of it. My wife and I, one time, we were resting on the trampoline. And my mother's here. I got an 81 Chevette. You know, you hardly see them on the road anymore. And all you younger people don't even know what it is. It's a car, okay? 81 Chevette. And I took a little bit of pride in this, I have to confess. It was my mother's. It's sentimental. And I got it painted, and it looks pretty nice. Well, we were laying there in the trampoline, and I'm telling you this because in the city, this happens day after day after day after day. They steal. They just steal from you. Well, we were laying there, and I thought I heard my Chevette door open. We were kind of relaxing on the trampoline, and my Chevette was only about 15 feet away at the most, not that far, maybe 10 feet away. And I sat up, and here somebody was sitting in my Chevette. And I thought, what are they doing? That's my Chevette. I didn't think about running and giving him my key to my better car, but I wanted my Chevette. So what do you do? Well, I hollered. And I did scare the guy. He up out of my Chevette and ran down the hill as far as he could go. I go to my Chevette. He already had it turned over to the first notch. He was just ready to start it. And here he had all my keys. He had the key to my house, the key to the bus, my key to the pickup truck, the key to my school. He had every key that I had. I thought, I'll tell you what, folks. The thief is out to get the keys. And he's out to get the key to your heart and your compassion so you don't have any. Well, here. Anyhow. Reading, they met together. Yes, on this is Friday's paper. They met together on Thursday. And they're trying to figure out how they can curb the crime that's going on in Reading. Okay. 50 people attended the meeting. Well, they talked this thing over. And students asked the panelists 30 questions. One was this one, including whether music includes violence. They wondered if music might spur violence. The guy that answered said, no. Well, they thought, do you think it would help to arm school guards? Maybe if they'd arm the guards. Maybe if we'd have more police in the cities. Maybe that would take care of it. Maybe if we have a different mayor. Maybe a mayor could take care of the problems that are in the city. Let's see what else here. Well, maybe they'd have metal detectors in the schools. But one person said, well, it would take till 10 o'clock to get them all in. So they can't do that. Well, let's see what else here. Oh, one man suggested, I think it has to start in the home. That sounds good. But I want to tell you, folks, the city of Reading is such bad shape, you can send them back to their home, and there's nothing there. I believe that 90% of the people in the city of Reading, I believe that 90% of them do not go to church. 90%. Now, that's my own, by figuring out my neighborhood, okay? They just don't go to church in the city of Reading. Very few you don't see them go to church. They're home Sunday morning. Well, he suggests that they go home. Well, that is the place to start, okay? But you know what, folks? They are clueless how to train children. I'm telling you, they are. They don't know how. Just follow them around at Walmart or Kmart or... You know, the world today into something. They got rid of the Bible in the schools. They got rid of prayer in the school. And if you work at Walmart, you can't even say Merry Christmas because it has Christ in it. That's where we're at today, folks. We're in a world that is in very, very bad condition. And they're trying to find out how they can bring the thing back. Our brother mentioned the stimulus package. I guess some hope that's going to be the answer. A stimulus package. Well, that's not going to work. Well, this one man suggested that District Judge William Hall, who also suggested going to church. Well, that was a good suggestion. But you know what, folks? Most of the churches in Reading don't know Jesus. Where are they, folks? They have no home. They have no church. They're taught in the schools that they come from apes or monkeys or something like that. That's what they are taught. And so, as I said earlier, folks, they are clueless as to where to turn to. They don't know. When is the last time you told someone about Jesus? Is that an option? Is it an option that if I want to, I can witness, but if I don't feel like it, I don't have to? Is it an option in the Scriptures that if I don't feel like wearing the veil, I don't have to wear it? Maybe once a month. I'll tell you, folks, the Bible has a whole lot more to say about going out and winning your neighbors than it does about the veil. I'm not cutting up the veil, okay? But I'm just saying this, brothers and sisters. We are responsible for our neighbors. I am responsible for where I live. I'll never forget this time I was sitting in the waiting room at the hospital. And the Lord spoke to me to witness to a man who was cussing and swearing. I said, oh, please, Lord, not, you know, I don't want to do that, you know. This guy's a rough man. So I said, okay, Lord. Talk about being childish. I have to admit it at times. I said, okay, Lord, I'll make a bargain with you. I'll bow my head and count to 10 or so, and if I look up and he's looking at me, that means go. I bowed my head, I looked up, and this man was looking right at me. And I was still sitting there, and he gets up, now mind you, he gets up and sits alongside of me and says, "What do you want?" There's a lot of people out there, folks, that are just wishing. They're just wishing that we would go to them and share with them the problems that they have. I want to tell you what, not everyone has closed ears. I want to tell you what we like to do. We like to blame it on the world that they're closing up their ears. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. It's more us than it's the world. The Lord closes their ears, but he also closes our mouth. And we don't share the gospel, and then we like to blame it on them. Just this week, a policeman came to our school, and he said, "I'd like to see your school." He parked his car out front. "I'd like to see your school." Oh, I walked around and walked around and showed him the school, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "You folks have no idea what you're doing to this community. I don't want you to take me as bragging, okay? I'm just going to state you some facts. I had the city councilman tell me, you have no idea of what your church and your school has an influence on our community. It's changing the community." I had a man walk in yesterday. The policeman in the morning, in the afternoon a man came. He said, "I just want to enroll my daughter in your school." But he said, "I don't have money." Oh, you know, they come to church free, of course. But, you know, we have to pay our school teachers. He wanted to enroll his daughter. Well, I said, I'll try and get maybe somebody to sponsor you. But I said, "No promises." Oh, I said, I just want to get my daughter in your school. Folks, there are people out there yet that are hungry for the Word of God. They want to know Jesus. But it's so easy for us to blame it on their ears. Well, the cry of the city, folks, it is getting louder and louder and louder. Crime is going up. Suicides. When Jesus, I want you to turn with me now to Matthew. I first want to ask you which mountain you're on. There are two mountains here. I think I'm going to take it from the Gospel of Luke. It's a little more clear of the point I want to make. You know, the devil likes to take us up into a mountain. Notice this here. Luke, I'm going back to Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. "And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." Well, folks, the devil takes us up into the mountain, and he shows you how you can make money. He shows you all the materialism, all the sports, the entertainment, and all these things. He says, "Look at all this fun you could have." And he says, "I'll give you all the power that you need." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? "I'll give you power and the glory of them." You're going to have a lot of glory in your power. "All you have to do is fall down and worship me." Just simply fall down and worship me. Well, I'll tell you what. When the devil shows us all these things and promises all these things to us, I don't know why, folks, but it looks too appealing to us. It looks too appealing. If you didn't share Jesus Christ with someone in the last week, you better get out and share the gospel. Now, notice here. Now I want to go back to another mountain, and I'm going to go to Matthew for that one. Matthew chapter 5. Here we go up into another mountain. Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. As he looked across, and his compassion moved him tremendously. As our brother shared here, all that we would only have compassion for the lost. So Jesus, now, he sees the multitudes. He sees them as sheep with no shepherd. He calls his disciples together and he takes them up into the mountain. And there he sits down and he teaches them. Some of the things that Jesus taught, unless you are willing to give up father, mother, brother, sister, lands, unless you are willing to give up all that, unless you are willing to give up Lancaster County, Berks County, Lebanon County, your friends, since my subject's the cry of the city, I'll make you feel a little guilty. What you ought to do, folks, is just go into your nearest by city, claim about 4 blocks for the Lord. So this is going to be my area. I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to come at least once a month, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to hand out gospel tracts, and I'm going to be praying for them, and I'm just going to tell them about Jesus. You know why, folks? You know why the world looks so attractive to us? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But if you never won a soul to the Lord by a witness to Him, you never experienced the greatest joy that you can have as a Christian. You're probably a half-dead Christian, if there is something like it. You know what? It brings tremendous joy. And I realize me living in the city. Yes, our church has the thing that when someone dies in our community, if they want to, we'll provide a meal for them right after the funeral. Okay? So yesterday we had one of them. You should have seen this gang. You know, people are such sad shape, they don't... I'm going to talk about the hair for just a minute. The cry of the city. You know that the guys in the city, a lot of them, they veil themselves. They put this black thing around their heads. It looks real cool. The women do not veil themselves. The men veil themselves. They don't even know how to put a cap on straight. I mean, they wear them sideways, backwards. You know how they look? Their pants are hanging down here somewhere. They can't even walk decent. There they are, and they're the cool guys, you know, and they scare us. They do. Once in a while, I decide I'm going to pick the meanest looking man out and witness to him. Folks, don't let the world intimidate you. We have something that the world needs to hear. We need to share it. When they saw Jesus, John says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, I just want to challenge you that you share the good news. Make it a goal. You know, I get places a lot better and faster if I have goals. Make it a goal, folks, to share Christ with someone once a week. That would not be too often. And if you can't find anybody, call me and I'll have someone down at Reading for you. Just share with somebody. It does a tremendous, it gives you a joy and a satisfaction that the things of this world, materialism, starts taking a strange, it doesn't mean as much to you anymore. When you're not winning souls for the Lord and you're not going into the cities, you're not doing anything for the Lord, your life starts drying up. And that's when you want to go materialism, I say, and sports and all of this kind of stuff. Folks, that don't satisfy. The great joy is the greatest joy that you'll ever have is to serve Jesus Christ and to go out there and bring souls into the kingdom. That's the greatest joy I have. Folks, there's no reason that your church shouldn't be full. There's no reason that if you have a school that your school shouldn't be full. There's no reason that your heart shouldn't be full. When your heart is full, I'm not contradicting what our brother said, but I tell you, I believe that we can have something that is appealing to the world because they need help and they know they need help. In our school, we have an inner city school. Right now we are averaging from end of January till about August, we will average a call a day for people to enroll in our school. You know, and it hurts. It really does. I see the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons going up and down, knocking on doors, and I'm sitting there and I'm shaking my head saying, sorry. We're full. 150 students, we're full. Our church is full and running over. I believe, folks, that we can have something. And I'm not saying that it don't cost to be a Christian. But I believe, folks, that we can make Christianity look a little better than what it is. I believe when a man is full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to be out there. And he's going to have the joy of the Lord in his heart, and he'll want to share the good news of Jesus. Well, we have to move on here. We know that what the world is looking for, and the world cannot find it. They're crying for peace. They don't know where to get that. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. We were going to meet a man here in Luke chapter 4 who it says that he came out of the city. It's Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to read at verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. I'll tell you what, folks, the city and its power, you know what, when Satan handed out his power, when he takes you up there in the mountain, I'll tell you what, folks, your power outside of Jesus Christ, you're going to fall. But you know what? Our power inside of Jesus Christ, the devil doesn't stand a chance. It's when we're in his territory is when we lose. Living there in the city, we had this dog that come out to my trash bags. And this dog and I were not going to get along very well. He'd come out and he'd get the trash bag and he'd shake it back and forth until the trash was all over the place. I thought, boy, I'm laying low for this dog. When this dog and I meet face to face, there's going to be some trouble. You know, I came out there one time, and here this dog was. And I went, rah! You know what that dog did? He knew he was in my territory. He turned around, and he ran as fast as he could go. You know what, folks? If I would go on his territory, on his back porch, and go, rah! He'd go, rah! You know what, folks? I'm going to tell you something. That's exactly what the devil does. When we're in his territory, you better look out because you're going to get it. But when you go in the name of Jesus Christ and you go out there, the Bible says when we resist the devil, he will what? He will flee. He has no other choice but to turn around and run because of the suffering, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of my Lord, that we can win the battle. So we are not losers. We're not the spare tire. We have tremendous power. Well, this man here, notice here. He came out of the city. And doesn't this sound familiar? He had the devil. He had no clothing on, like our brother was talking about. He was homeless. We have a lot of homeless people. Neither abode he in a house, but he lived among the graveyard in the tombs. And I was going to study this verse a little bit, and then I neglected it here. But it says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. I was wondering why he did that. Go home and find out why he did that. With a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. He didn't want Jesus to torment him. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound in chains and fetters. I want to tell you, folks, tonight, this morning, that the devil can change, can drop them chains and fetters and take them off and free us. And that's what Jesus was about to do here, to break the bands. And then coming down here, you know the story of the swine, how that when Jesus cast out the devil, when Jesus cast out the devil, they went into swine. And I happened to see this book here when I was looking, studying the other day. Do you know how much great the loss was? Listen to this. There was 2,000 pigs. The people in the city were subject to a meat shortage. Well, you can see why the people were a little bit upset. 4,000 hams, 4,000 spare ribs, 4,000 slides of bacon, 4,000 picnic hams, 8,000 pig feet, 16,000 pork steaks, 4,000, and on, okay. So here he goes into the city, this man that was, the demon was cast out, and tells the people what was done. And when they came out, they were so mad at Jesus for doing what he'd done. Notice what it says here. And when they had fed, and when they fed them what was done, and when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went in and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done. Folks, I believe, folks, that we need more people to go back and say and see what was done, what Jesus has done. Jesus wants to do a whole lot more. As our brother mentioned, he wants to touch us. Now notice this man, where he was, from the graveyard to being homeless, full of the devil. It says that when he departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You know what? We have a lot of people sitting in our congregation that are sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in their right mind. That is so wonderful, folks. That's what brings me joy. And you know what? When we ask for testimonies, our church is made up of a lot of different backgrounds of, you name it, we have it in our church. When we ask for testimonies, who do you think jumps up first? The Anabaptists or the non-Anabaptists? The non-Anabaptists. Sometimes I think, what's wrong with the Anabaptists? What's wrong with the Mennonites? Why aren't they jumping up? Well, folks, too many times is because they have nothing to share. They may as well stay seated. You know the story of I thought of this, our brother's subject, who is my neighbor, when the This guy got beat up from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among the thieves. And the priest came along, and it says that he was on the wrong side of the road. And then the Levite came along, and he too kind of glanced at the guy, but he had no compassion. He kept going too. He was on the wrong side of the road. And then it says that the Samaritan came, and the Samaritan came. I'm going to read this one scripture here. When the Samaritan came. All right. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Our brother's talking about compassion. Lord, folks, pray for compassion. We have a lot of teenagers in our school that have no, their homes are just totally disaster. Okay? They'd rather stay at school overnight than go home. And boy, I tell you, I had a boy sitting in my office here a few weeks ago. He was crying. He said, his parents were separating. He said, if I say I'm going with my mother, my dad threatens to commit suicide. And if I say I'm going to go with my dad, my mother threatens to commit suicide. Imagine that. A lot of children today, folks. I want to say something about children. You know, the devil knows that you get children at a very, very young age. We have this fear. You don't have to agree with me. We have this fear of child evangelism. Okay? Because the Baptists overdo child evangelism. I often thought if the Baptists would get them saved and we could disciple them, that'd be a pretty good scenario. But children, I want to tell you, folks, I talk about compassion for children, and I'm not bragging. I think I could go up to about 10. I really do. My compassion for the fathers probably goes about down to zero. But I tell you, my compassion goes out for children. They, folks, they are the broken pieces. You know, we fuss about abortion. And abortion is a terrible sin. But a lot of us won't give a hand to pick up a child and take them to Sunday school. Shame on us if you're talking about abortion and you're not doing anything for the little children. We have a ministry there that we open the gate every Tuesday night. For, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years now. We open up the gate and in come the children. You know what? Children, you know, when they want attention, they do dumb things. And the more attention they want, the dumber they're going to act. And it's going to frustrate you because of how they are acting. We had a girl in our home. She was a teenager, foster. And she would do things that would really test my wife and I, our faith in the Lord. She put a note on my dresser drawer and said, "Give me what I deserve or you'll be sorry." She laid it with my belt. What did she want? She wanted my attention in a bad way. You know how it is when somebody wants attention, it goes hard to give it. So I went to her. I said, "Sandy," my wife and I went to her and said, "Sandy," she'd been about 15 years old or so, 16. I said, "We can't follow you. You'll have us reported and we'll land up, you know, in the Berks County Jail. We can't do that." She'd stare me in the eye. And she'd say, "You give me what I deserve or you'll be sorry." You know what she was doing? She was simply crying out. Crying out. I said, "Sandy, I can't paddle you. I can't do that." She looked at me in the eye again and said, "You better do it or you'll be sorry." I knew she slept with a knife under her pillow. by that long. And I would stack up bottles. This is all the cry of the city, folks. This is living in the city. They steal your car. They steal your snowblower. They steal everything. Not everything, but they steal a lot of things, you know. She slept with this knife under her pillow, so I stacked up tin cans in front of my bedroom door in case she comes through in the middle of the night to take care of me. The tin cans will fall over, and I'll be out of bed. Might sound funny, but it wasn't funny then. So I said, okay, well, it seems to me like there's only one thing to do. That's to paddle her. So I got my belt, put it in half. My wife and I went back to the bedroom, and I can still hear her say, how do you want me? And I said, just lean over the bed. So I thought, what I'm going to do is whip her till she cries. I knew my life was at stake for Berks County Prison, too. So I start whipping her. And I don't know how many I gave her. Finally, she jumped up and threw her arms around me and said, now I know you love me. You know, the world does want discipline. They do want to feel secure. They want you to make guidelines. Parents, your children want guidelines. They may act like they don't, but they feel secure when you have them. And, well, she start acting up again. Like what she would do for attention, you never knew what she's going to do. One time, she took a walk, a long walk, landed about 8 miles from home, and called me, and she said, I'll tell you, here's where I am. She said, I'll not walk one step back. Not one step, nope. If you want me, here I am. What was she doing? Simply testing my love again. What did I do? I went and picked her up, but I said, look, next time don't walk any further than what you can walk back. Well, that knife, folks, that knife that she had under her pillow, she used it, not on me, but she used it on another girl and killed her. There's a lot of, folks, the louder the city cries, I'm going to tell you something, the more they are hurting. More they're hurting. Like our brother said, you know, if my wife really wants my attention, all she got to do is cry and she got it. You know? At school, when I hear a cry of 150 children, nobody's crying. If I hear a cry, what do? I go toward that cry. I want to know why they're crying. Folks, we need to cry out to God. He'll hear us. We need to go with the gospel. Like I said, children, folks, children have a certain place in my heart. I love them children. And to do all that we can do to bring them into our church and into our school. You know, it's very interesting, too, folks. When you get the heart of the child, you can get the heart of the parent. Yep. I had a father just come in about a week ago. Their daughter started coming to our Sunday school in Dolphin Gate. And he said to me, this man's not a Christian. He said, I'm trying to figure out. He said, my daughter is so different. And he's so thankful what we're doing for his daughter. His daughter's about 13, 14 years old. He's trying to figure it out. What an opportunity we have. Folks, don't be afraid to touch the life of the child in the city. Go in and touch them. You're going to be blessed. The child is going to be blessed. I can say parents, but most of them only have one. A lot of them don't even know who dad is. We have those in our school that don't know who dad is. My son Jason and Denise. They took in two girls from the city. Their mother was an alcoholic. She'd leave these two little girls home alone. And then they'd call up Jason and Denise crying and saying, we're afraid. We're home alone. Her mother would be drunk. So they kept them one night, then they kept them two nights. And now they have them, I think, for about 7 years. Both girls have given their hearts to the Lord. Folks, the city is crying out. There are those that want help, but they don't know where to turn. They think it's in alcohol. They don't pick the Bible up and read it. They don't know. They need to see a life that is living for the Lord Jesus. The strongest testimony in the city is a family. I mean, it blows them away when we had 8 children walking down the hill, going to church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, and almost every Sunday night. Teenagers, little ones, it was more than they could understand. I won't give an invitation for you to move in the city, but consider it, okay? You will be blessed. I almost feel sorry for people that live in the country because of the great blessing we can have. Okay. Where should I go from here? Maybe I'll just refer to a few of these here. I want to make sure you're on the right ship, okay? So let's go to Jonah. If you're on the wrong ship, it's not going to be a good situation. God called Jonah, okay? The word of the Lord came to Jonah and saying, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. I believe, folks, God is saying to each one of you, go to Nineveh. You need a Nineveh. If you don't have a Nineveh, go find one, okay? Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Notice, it's a great city. And cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Folks, the wickedness, I could go to a number of scriptures, but I'm not going to do it. The wickedness of the city, I believe I can say, always goes up to the Lord. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know the story there. A great city, exceedingly wicked. You know, it used to be, you know, you hardly know what to say in a mixed audience like this. But it used to be that homosexuality was, you know, you weren't sure what it was. Now I know them. They're all over Reading. They're in the relation. It's a terrible sin. The sin is polluted with them. I have some houses. I go to my houses to collect rent. There they are. Our city is full of them, folks. Nineveh being a wicked city here. And it says that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up to me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. Which ship are you on, folks? If you're not out there sharing the gospel of Jesus, you're on the wrong ship. God is holding you responsible. It is not whether I want to or whether I don't want to. It's not like the veil, like some say, whether you want to or whether you don't want to. Folks, when my dad, and my mother's here too, when my dad said go, I knew it meant go. No fooling around. And if I didn't go, he gave me a little chance. He'd go like this. And by the time his hand was together, and I used to wait till the last second at times, that's how he used to go. Our Lord is saying, go. He don't say go if you feel like it. Go when you get time, if you have it. But go. I'm saying to you, go to your Nineveh. If you are on the wrong ship and you're encountering a storm, you may as well jump overboard. I hope a whale does catch him. But I tell you, folks, there's so much work to be done. The cry of the city. Folks, when a man's picking corn, where does he go? In the wheat field? He goes in the cornfield. Okay? Jesus, many times, referred to the city. He's going to say, go. You've got to go. You can't... How should I say this? Don't only sit in Lancaster County, but go to the cities. I had revival meetings, Indiana, Ohio, and I think about everybody goes to church out there. I don't know if they're saved, but they go to church. And I think, boy, this would be almost, I wouldn't know how to preach. I hardly know how to preach here because I live in the city and there's so many lost people there. And what I'm saying to you, don't become that you're so attached to the things of the world, folks, and you miss the tremendous blessing of sharing the good news of Jesus. Well, there was a man in the city who sat down at the feet of Jesus, and I'll close now because it's a bad place to be between the food and the pulpit. But there was children also in the city. Okay, the Bible says about children in the city. And you know what them children in the city were doing? You know what they did? The children came out and started mocking a prophet. The prophet was Elisha. Now them children, I don't believe, picked that up on their own. I don't think that they just saw Elisha and said, "Ah, Elisha, you bald head, you don't have any hair in your head, go home." I don't believe they came up with that. You know why I believe they came up with that? They came up with that from their parents. They heard their parents say that. They said, go home, thou bald head. That's children in the city. I tell you, the children in the city can really be rude. But I want to tell you something else. So can Anabaptist children really be rude. Teach your children not to be rude. To be respectful. Well, these children in the city were mocking. There was also a lady, but I'm going to close now. But I want to leave you with the challenge. I got about half finished, okay? I really should close with this, I think. You don't want me to take a vote in that, do you? He said another 10 minutes. Five? Okay. Revelations. Let me go to Revelations in closing. Talking about the other city, folks. You may as well get used to city down here because we're going to move on to a city. But that city is going to be different up there, okay? Revelation chapter 21. Well, what do I want to read here? I'll just skip down over a little bit. 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Folks, I don't know why we don't get a little bit more homesick for heaven. You know, if the doctor tells you this week that you have cancer and you're probably going to die, most of us are willing to spend, I can say, hundreds of thousands of dollars to try and stay alive. And I'm not saying, folks, that if I were sick, maybe I'd do the same thing. I don't know. Don't want to do that. Folks, let's be more homesick for heaven. If Arizona were a state where you could go to, where all your problems would end, no more financial problems, no more sickness, no more pain, no night there.
We'd all say, yeah, let's go. Let's go to Arizona. And probably at least half of you would head out there. And you'd talk about it. You'd be excited about going. I get excited about going to Florida. We ought to be excited to go on to be with the Lord and to take all those that we can with us. The Bible says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust, nobody can steal it. I don't have to worry about stealing it. Well, heaven is a wonderful place here, folks. And, let me just read this yet. Revelation 21, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it. You know, if we'd have the option to go there, this coming week, I think I'd volunteer to go. But somehow, if I'm going to die, I'm not sure I want to after all. Notice what it says here. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No night in heaven. Oh, I'm telling you what, folks. We ought to get so excited about going to heaven that we ought to be shouting like they were here in Revelation. I'll just read this. I think I'll just read this in closing. Let me see here. All right, this is closing. Then I'll sit down. Just listen to me as I read it. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four-footed beasts fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Folks, let's get in the cities so we can take some more along up to the real city. May God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Jay. It's always good to hear from someone who has walked it, lived it, is walking and is living in it. So appreciate that life testimony there. The cry of the city.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.